Well, Dan, we were talking about this whole situation about opioids. We have been doing a feature from time to time on this, and it is a huge problem.
Well, Brad, joining us in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is State Senator Heather Summers from Groton, and yesterday there was a bill signing an act preventing prescription opioid diversion and abuse, and I know that Senator Summers was in the vanguard of getting this legislation passed, and we welcome her to the program. Senator, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Senator, how will this act help to curb opioid abuse?
Well, there is this bill, actually, I want to give a shout out to everyone who helped. We whittled this down to a significant working group that worked on it for months to come up with legislation that can really move the needle with obviously not costing a lot because of our very financial situation here in Connecticut. So what we were able to do is this bill consists of about seven different things. The first thing being if you are a physician now prescribing opiates under a DEA license, you must prescribe them electronically, i.e., there's too much availability for fraud to do a handwritten script on an old prescription pad. But ironically, the DEA just changed the rules because prior to this year, the DEA required a handwritten prescription for opiates. So they were not allowed to electronically write the script. Now that DEA law has changed, so Connecticut is requiring if you are a physician, you know, writing for narcotics, you have to do it electronically. This helps monitor the prescriptions. It helps the pharmacies know if somebody is trying to fill more than one prescription. And it's a much better, more accurate way to monitor who's getting the scripts, how many. And also, if you have physicians that are writing too many opiates, it's a much better way to track it. So that was the first part of the bill. The most important part of the bill for me was to change the way that hospitals and insurance companies think about people seeking treatment. Right now, if you go to the hospital and you're seeking treatment, if you're not actually high, they don't necessarily let you in. You're turned away and you're said, you know what, you're not high, actively detoxing, you come back. So what happens in many cases is someone who would leave, they would go out and do heroin again, and that might be the heroin that killed them, and they were never able to get the help they needed. We have changed the law.
Wow.
That if you go to a hospital or facility requesting treatment, you are allowed to be taken in per doctor's order, per doctor's decision on what treatment you need and how long you need to stay. You are not going to be turned away. You're not going to be kicked out because you're not, quote, actively high at the moment. And the doctor makes the decision, not the insurance company, who says, okay, I'm sorry, you can only stay 2 days because that's our rules for detox. So that was a very big one. And I think it's very important because if we can get people into treatment early enough, then we can make much better strides in fighting this epidemic than, you know, turning them away, because at the moment they're trying to get clean, but they haven't taken heroin in 12 hours. Having somebody turn you away for that when you're trying to do the right thing is really the wrong message. The other things that we did were allow VNA nurses or hospice nurses, if somebody passes away because they're sick with cancer or, you know, some other disease, and their hospital bed at home and their room is filled with opiate prescriptions, which happens very frequently, it has been illegal for anyone to remove those narcotics. So what happens many times is those homes get broken into, the narcotics get stolen, and they're sold on the street. So now we have given whether it's the visiting nurse or the hospice nurse the ability to remove those from the household. We will be looking at next session to allow law enforcement to do the same thing, because many times in a, quote, untimely death, a police officer is the first one there. And, you know, those, till this day, those prescriptions become part of the probate, part of the person who's deceased property. So it has been illegal to remove those. But that's a loophole that is something that we wanted to make sure we closed. Public health has also worked on developing working groups that we're working with for the alcohol and drug policy, where we are going to develop a public service announcement concerning opiates to get the word out there you know, more actively for even the younger generation, and also to develop a 24-hour real-time porthole on the public health website where clinicians who are trying to help someone seek treatment can find the availability of a treatment bed, because that's a very big problem. We have clinicians that will spend 3 or 4 hours literally like dialing for dollars trying to find a bed available. So if we had a 24-hour porthole on the public health website in real time, and an app in which a physician on their iPhone, which everybody has one, could look and say, oh yes, here's a bed available here, you know, I'm taking it, boom, and you're in, it would save time, money, and get people into treatment a lot quicker. So those are just a few of the highlights. There's other things we've changed in that bill, which is right now the law says that if you have a group of first responders going to, you know, the scene of an overdose, everyone's supposed to have Narcan, which is great, but Narcan is extremely expensive.
Yes.
So we ended up saying, you know, at least one person has to have it. You know, some common sense changes. The other thing that we did is made Narcan available at any pharmacy, and I think this is important because previous to this law, if you went in and let's say your daughter or, you know, sometimes it's elderly folks who are, you know, dealing with chronic diseases that have all kinds of different pain medications, you know, they might have an opportunity to accidentally overdose. And so there are younger children who are, you know, advanced in age themselves, want to have Narcan available in case something happens to mom or dad. And until this law passed, you could not get Narcan in case, you know, your loved one was overdosing or had a problem. You had to get it for yourself. So now you can go into any pharmacy where the pharmacist has taken the exam and has a prescription authority. They call it a standing order. So pharmacists will be able to just hand you and give you the Narcan if you have a loved one, a daughter, a parent that is suffering. You can get it for them now, where before you had to get it for yourself. And there was still, you know, a little bit of a barrier based on stigma. You didn't want to go into CVS and say, you know, I have an issue, I need to get Narcan. And people felt much more comfortable being able to get it for someone else. So that's another part of the law that we've changed. So we really have tried to move the needle as best we can. Access to treatment, access to 24-hour portholes so physicians know when a bed is available, doing PSA announcements and a marketing campaign that we are looking to, because the state is in such financial dire straits, what I would like to do is look to our colleges here, our state colleges, and have a pretty much like an old-fashioned contest between the business schools to come up with the best marketing plan that we can to fight this opiate epidemic. I think it's great for the state. It's great for the students. It's good for their resumes. And do the same kind of thing through all the companies and schools that we have in our engineering department to see who can develop an app for the 24-hour porthole that we need for real-time bed availability.
Senator, that's such a great idea.
Tremendous idea.
I suggested years ago the state could save money on its tourism budget by doing the same thing,
absolutely,
going to these schools to develop a tourism campaign.
Absolutely. I mean, we might as well. And the thing about, especially for opiates, you know, it has unfortunately hit this generation. I called it yesterday at the press conference, really the crisis and the epidemic of our generation. And I hope someday, you know, when my grandchildren look back or my, you know, my children, this will be something of the past. But why don't we engage the people that are actually part of that generation to help develop the message? Because, you know, sitting some of, you know, with no offense to our commissioners, they do a great job, but, you know, you have this gold dome head and you don't have the perspective of what it's like to necessarily be a millennial struggling in today's, you know, world and what it's like here in Connecticut. So I think that having a younger generation engaged in the whole idea, not only does it bring awareness to the campus and to those who are, you know, of more of that age group, but it actually helps us as, you know, a little bit older, not too much older, really recognize what would resonate with that generation rather than having, you know, I keep thinking of Nancy Reagan saying, you know, just don't do drugs.
How long did it take you to develop this? How long?
This whole bill?
Yeah, yeah.
We worked on this all session. You know, I will say that probably 4 of the ideas were my individual bills, and other people also had similar ideas. So we took probably, and I'm estimating, maybe 35 or 40 different opiate bills and brought them all together.
Wow.
Had a public hearing and then had to refine it. There were certain things that I really thought were important to do, but we were not allowed to do them. One of them was you know, there are physicians that had come to me and said, look, I've had this young person come in here 20 times, Narcan. I know that if I could just hold them for 72 hours and get them a little bit more clean, that I could have a conversation that would be meaningful and get them the help they need, because if not, the next time they come in here, they're dead.
Wow.
So I wanted to be able to give physicians more authority in that way. And there was a lot of pushback, and I understand that. So what we did within that bill is just reiterate that the physicians do have the ability, should they think that somebody is risking their life or, you know, a risk for life or risk to others, to be able to suggest that somebody stay in the hospital for a period of time.
Senator,
we don't use that often, but...
Yeah, Senator, we're out of time. We've got to get you in studio someday for an hour. Need to get you
Absolutely.
Up from Groton, okay?
If we can get you up here to sit down with us and our audience can ask questions, too, will you do that?
Absolutely. Anytime, I would love to. And you have a great fall day. It feels like fall, doesn't it?
It sure does, Senator. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.